How can an understanding of the theology of the cross help in times of pain, suffering, and loss? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Problem of Suffering by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Problem of Suffering, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Not so much recently, but in past centuries, Christianity was indeed a very dangerous force. The Crusades killed perhaps 1 million people, which proportionally was about the same as the Nazi Holocaust. The European wars of religion were more deadly than the First World War, proportionally speaking, and in the range of the Second World War in Europe. The Inquisition, the persecution of heretics and infidels and witches, they racked up pretty high death tolls.
That's Harvard professor Steven Pinker talking about a recently published book of his, The Better Angels of Our Nature. He's been making the news because he is asserting, among other things, that while violence in our society is on the wane, the reason for it is that we have become more enlightened, more humanist, and especially that religion has left behind its violent militant stage and become more humanized as well. Of course, behind that is the premise that religion is a major source of violence and has been in history a major source of violence, and in particular Christianity, a major source of violence. You heard his laundry list of things that Christianity has allegedly done and the body count. Joining us to talk about this book and respond, Dr. Angus Manoush, professor and chair of the Department of Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's author of the book Agents Under Fire, Materialism and the Rationality of Science. Dr. Manoush has also written an article in a recent Christian research journal titled Enlightenment Humanism, Our Savior from Violence. Dr. Manoush, welcome back.
Glad to be on the show, Todd.
It's a pretty impressive list that Pinker lays out there that we just heard together. How would you respond to his assertion that really, in terms of the body count proportionally, the Christian church has got a lot of blood on its hands?
Well, there's a number of things. First of all, it's always very important to distinguish what people who call themselves Christians do from Christ's actual example and teaching. Christ is the one who says that anyone who lives by the sword will die by the sword, tells a disciple to put away his sword, and insists as well that his kingdom is not a worldly kingdom. He doesn't encourage theocracy or forced conversions. And so you can see that part of a lot of the examples that Pinker cites go back to bad theology that doesn't reflect Christ's teaching. And he mistakes this himself for Christian teaching. So early in the book, he says, if you really believe that failing to accept Jesus as one's Savior is a ticket to fiery damnation, then torturing a person until he acknowledges this truth is doing him the biggest favor of his life. Better a few hours now than an eternity later. But surely any listener to your show knows that that's not the way you create faith in someone, by torturing them or by oppressing them or by taking over their country by violent means or all of the rest. Ultimately the issue is theological. Pinker doesn't understand that, as set forth in Scripture, faith is a work of God. It cannot be coerced by force. So if we do find Christians doing these terrible things, they're not reflecting the teaching of Christ. And as well, with the issue of the body count, it's very important to understand the thesis of his book. What he does when he ranks all of the major conflicts is he first of all gives the rank in terms of the total number who were killed. Okay, so in that case, for example, the Second World War comes up very high. And then he gives an adjusted rank because, of course, the world's population has changed. This is a way that he can evade the obvious response of critics of the new atheists, who point out that, of course, the 20th century saw the largest body count ever from atheistic leaders. So Vox Dei, for example, and the Irrational Atheist points out that The total body count for the 90 years between 1917 and 2007 is approximately 148 million dead at the bloody hands of 52 atheists. So they have a high body count as well. Well, to get around that, of course, he's going to adjust to the percentage of population at the time. So there's a couple of things going on here which I think are at least highly, highly misleading.
The other assertion that he makes both in the book and in interviews he's done on the book is that the reason that the body count, so to speak, and this is dealing with Christianity in particular, the reason the body count is no longer in evidence is because Christianity, the term he likes to use, is it's been humanized. What does he mean by that, and how do you respond? With about, a minute and a half before we take our break.
Yeah, basically, that following the 17th century age of reason, we've bought into this kind of humanistic idea and human rights and all the rest of it. We've become more compassionate and more rational. We've abandoned the superstitions of the past, and he thinks that this has made us somehow more peaceful, but it didn't, of course, prevent the atheist atrocities that I just mentioned that should make one suspicious that this is the complete answer. And there's much more to be said as well, of course, about the Christian contribution to peace and for bringing many good things into the world, which came into the world long before anybody heard of Enlightenment humanism in the 17th century.
Does he present Enlightenment humanism as the real antidote, the real remedy to man's proclivity to violence? About 30 seconds, Dr. Manoj.
Yeah, basically he does. Of the four better angels of our nature, this is the most important one for him, the idea of universal reason. He's very Kantian in his approach. And there's a lot that one can say in criticism of Kant's idea that reason alone is going to be capable of defending human rights and all the other things which Pinker, to his credit, does believe in.
When we come back, we'll talk more about this book from Harvard professor Steven Pinker, The Better Angels of Our Nature. Dr. Angus Manoj is our guest. You can join us as well. We are coming to you live this Monday afternoon, January the 23rd. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Angus Manoj is professor and chair of philosophy of the Department of Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's authored the book Agents Under Fire, Materialism and the Rationality of Science. And he's also written an article in the recent Christian Research Journal titled Enlightenment Humanism, Our Savior from Violence. We'll be right back.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Any kind of ideology that is demonizing, that is, holds out some group of people as an obstacle to a better world, and that posits a utopia, are extremely dangerous. And so I would lump militant religions in with ideologies like communism and Nazism in that regard.
That's Harvard Professor Steven Pinker speaking recently about his book, The Better Angels of Our Nature, on National Public Radio's Talk of the Nation. We're talking about his book. Dr. Angus Manoj is our guest. Dr. Manoj, you heard there, and he says this several times, he links these two things, any kind of ideology that is utopian and that demonizes a group as an obstacle to achieving that utopian goal. I wonder, beginning with, you know, kind of understanding his paradigm there, is that an accurate picture of Christianity in any sense, a utopian view that demonizes others as obstacles to our utopia?
No, it's a picture of those ideologies that want to basically produce a heaven on earth. And any sound biblical Christian would take the Augustinian view that we're not trying to redeem this world. This world is a fallen world, and the only perfection that we can ever enjoy is that found in heaven. What we're called to do here and now is to serve all of those around us. And we have the picture that ultimately that finds its fruition in heaven, which consists of every tribe and nation. Christianity is very inclusive, and it doesn't need to demonize anyone. In fact, it offers a universal message of salvation and acceptance to all people. So it's utterly different. What's really dangerous are those ideologies that want to make that kind of thing happen by force in this world.
How does he deal with Islam? I've heard what he's had to say about Christianity, but does he paint with a equal brush when it comes to Islam, which arguably does fit his paradigm for what a militant religious movement is?
Yeah, he does make some statements about the brutality of theocracies and ideologies like that, and in many ways, this is the problem. He seems to think that Christianity is like Islam because he doesn't seem to understand the two kingdoms. This is the core of his problem. Islam really is a one kingdom theology because it believes that you can extend the realm of Islam by political or possibly military or other or legal means. In other words, it does extend the realm of force historically as it's developed as a religion, despite the surah about there is no compulsion in religion. And really, Pinker seems to think that Christianity is the same kind of thing. Of course, there have been abuses in Christianity where that's been tried, which he mentions. But as I mentioned before, that simply doesn't follow Christian teaching because faith is a work of God. It's not a work of man, and therefore it cannot be produced by violence, torture, or anything else.
I'm wondering whether or not he, at least in some limited sense, falls into his own trap there, in that by talking about religion as this force for violence and as Enlightenment humanism as, well, in some ways, kind of a utopian, small movement there, whether or not he actually is guilty of doing exactly what he says religion does, which is demonizing people without any warrant.
I'm afraid that he does do that. His misrepresentation of the nature of faith and his misrepresentation of the teaching of the Old and New Testament, claiming that it supports slavery and all the rest of it, and his absolute dichotomy, of course, between reason and faith, which means that if you're a believer, you must be a fideist. He doesn't understand, like the new atheists in general, the whole realm of Christian apologetics, that just because one believes something in faith and that faith is worked by God doesn't mean that one cannot find evidence to justify those claims, which can be presented to the unbeliever.
You respond to something he writes near the end of his book where Pinker says, "I have been assuming that violence is always a bad thing, except when it prevents greater violence." What is your assessment of that assumption and of his reasoning that follows?
Yeah, it's a very this-worldly view, as Lewis saw. It's really a materialist view because it thinks that by minimizing problems in this world, that's the best that we can do. But of course, the matter of violence is really a morally second thing. We want to minimize violence if it will help us promote the things we really care about, liberty and justice. But there are lots of ways that we could get rid of violence that would be horrible. The Brave New World scenarios where we just drug people and condition them and genetic engineering, then nobody's violent, everybody's wonderfully happy, and yet we've taken all the meaning out of life. So it's really odd for him to define human progress in terms of the minimization of violence. It's why do we care about reducing violence is the issue. And he seems to assume that war and death are the greatest evils. And Lewis says, "But I don't think they are. I think the suppression of a higher religion by a lower, or even a higher secular culture by a lower, are a much greater evil." And he doesn't really seem to see that issue. And Enlightenment humanism historically has had that tendency with the French encyclopedias and people who wanted to basically get rid of Christianity from public life. And I think that does have a connection to statist totalitarianism, which has always taken aim against followers of revealed religions.
You mentioned early in our conversation his appeal to, well, I guess it's kind of classical existentialism, Immanuel Kant, and what he calls the universality of reason. How do you assess that way of approaching the problem of well, the general problem of human suffering, but the problem of violence in our society and its solution?
Well, the idea of Kant is that somehow that we can all from an irrational perspective see the equivalence of all rational beings. So Kant says, don't do that action that you can't will at the same time everyone to do. And there's some wisdom in that. But the problem is that it requires people to act under what Rawls has called a veil of ignorance and pretend they don't know the difference between themselves and others. And patently, they do. And the world's dictators and tyrants and other bad guys are perfectly well aware that what they plan to do to others can't possibly be done to them. And so I think it's naive to think that just by appeal to reason, you're going to eliminate wickedness. People can perfectly well use their reason to justify their continued advantages and oppression of others.
With only a minute, as a matter of fact, does he ignore that the fact that his appeal to human rights, his appeal to universal intrinsic human rights, is actually founded in the Christian scriptures in a general way?
Yeah, and you know, many atheists have admitted this. Peter Singer says the whole idea of human rights is speciesist. On a naturalistic perspective, you have a variety of creatures, and you can just assess them on their capacity to feel pleasure and pain. And so he thinks the adult pig is more valuable than the newborn human infant on those grounds. And naturalistically, there are so many differences between human beings. Why say that those who are stronger and smarter than others are no more valuable than those who are weaker or not so smart? There's simply no way to get the conclusion that we have universal, inalienable human rights in that kind of way. Where we do see that is in Scripture's teaching that everyone is made in the image of God and that no one is worthless for whom Christ died. That, of course, is a Christian source.
Dr. Angus Manouge is professor and chair of the Department of Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's authored the book Agents Under Fire, Materialism and the Rationality of Science, and he's also written an article in the recent Christian Research Journal titled Enlightenment Humanism, Our Savior from Violence. Dr. Manouge, thank you very much for being our guest.
All right. Thank you for having me on the show.
Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is one of those kind of books that, well, and I don't generally read books like this because they're hard to read. This is really hard to read, not because the sentences don't make sense and not because it's long. It's actually a very small book, very easily written, but there's nothing breezy about this book. It's difficult to read because it delves into the reality, the painful center of human suffering, and it offers to its reader the most delightful, the most wonderful comfort from the theology of the cross and from our crucified and suffering Savior that I've read in a long time. The book is called The Problem of Suffering, and you can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order this book, The Problem of Suffering, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry about Joel Osteen's recent statement. I found it very odd, but I understand how someone might be that mistaken. Joel Osteen recently said that Mitt Romney, who is a Mormon, he regards as a fellow believer in Christ, and he's not the only one. We'll see what Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry says about that tomorrow on Issues Etc. It is simply not within the scope, the reach of our reason to achieve all that we hope to achieve by way of peace and harmony. There is only one bringer of peace, and he's made peace with God, with us, through his flesh on the cross, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.